So I've been doing some reading lately about the idea that all that we experience in the world, in our lives, can be understood to fall somewhere along a continuum of lower to higher vibration. For example, fear and anger and acts of violence and hatred are found lower on the scale. They're of a lower vibration, and love and compassion and joy occur much higher on the scale. They're of a higher vibration. The idea is that we can move up or down along the scale throughout our lives, at times operating from a lower vibrational place when it seems like we're stuck in struggle or grief or anger. And other periods, we may find ourselves in a more peaceful and harmonious place of higher vibration. And the idea is that there are things that we can do, healing practices like gratitude and forgiveness, that can help move us from lower vibrations up the scale toward more peace and ease and happiness. So it's through that lens that I'm going to share with you some excerpts from a piece written for the Flower Communion Sunday by a colleague of mine, UU minister Reverend Gary Kowalski. His sermon is called Flower Power, and the words that follow are a tapestry of his original sermon with my thoughts and reflections sort of woven in. He writes, "In the beginning, millions of years ago, there were no flowers. There were ferns, there were fungi. There were dull, mossy-colored plants that spread and reproduced by means of spores. But there were no orchids, no apple blossoms, no fields of grass, or brightly colored wildflowers. Toward the end of the age of dinosaurs, about 100 million years ago, something strange and wonderful happened. Plants learned how to do a new thing. They learned how to reproduce through seeds. Unlike the spores that preceded them, seeds are actually tiny organisms, embryonic and ready to grow, packaged like meals to go with a built-in store of nutrition. And that gave the world an entirely new source of edible and abundant energy, energy that could be converted into heat, that boosted the temperature of the four-legged and flying creatures up a notch from cold-blooded to warm. Birds and mammals appeared. The limbic system that governs the emotions was laid over the older reptilian brain, and the inner landscape changed. Mothers began to feel a deepened bond with their children, and children clung with affection to their parents. Love appeared. And loyalty, and grief, and tears, and laughter, curiosity, and play, all made possible by the blooming plants that had turned the earth into a botanical buffet of rare fragrances and amazing visual splendor." I would suggest that this reflects a planetary movement up the scale, a sort of leveling up as life moved up the scale of vibration towards more nuance and complexity. Kowalski goes on, "No wonder flowers are the symbol of springtime and hope, for there have always been empires that established their rule through the lowest possible vibrations of sheer raw power, kingdoms of this world based on military domination of their neighbors. The Roman Empire was like that. Its legions like glaciers that slowly crushed everyone who stood in their way. Their rulers were tyrant kings, but they were no match for the higher vibrational power of one small man, no match for the purity and simplicity of his vision. Jesus spoke of the lilies of the field because he himself was like a flower. Almost effortlessly, the beauty of his words and his deeds captured the hearts of people who listened, and they became his disciples. He said, a new kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, what we here often refer to as the beloved community, was like a seed that could spread and grow And that if we nurtured that seed of compassion inside ourselves, that it could become the greatest force on earth. It was the simple truth, for there have always been regimes like the Romans. The Nazis were similar. Their stormtroopers, icy cold and unyielding, their panzer divisions like lumbering giants, clattering with fearsome armor into combat. But again, they were no match for flowers or the man who shared them. Norbert Čapek was a Unitarian minister who lived in the last century in the city of Prague. Čapek's church became the largest Unitarian congregation in the world with over 3,000 members. Like our congregations today, many of the people in that church were spiritual refugees from different backgrounds. Čapek felt that the church needed some kind of symbolic ritual that would bind them together, in which everyone could participate without reservation. He created what he called the Flower Festival, and he held the first Flower Festival service in 1923. Each person brought a flower to the service and chose a different one to take home. The flower symbolized each member as a unique individual, choosing freely to join with one another, sharing their presence and their gifts. The exchanging of flowers symbolized the benefits of fellowship and friendship. Čapek was eventually arrested for listening to and spreading news of the war. One of the most remarkable parts of his story is that while he was held prisoner at Dachau concentration camp, Čapek led a worship service using the flower celebration as the ritual. Prisoners at the camp of all faiths went and found whatever flowers they could find in the prison yards, and they brought them to the ritual and exchanged them with one brought by another. This ritual brought a higher vibrational light into one of the darkest, most desperate places imaginable. Now, Norbert Čapek was eventually executed by the Nazis in October of 1942. But his enduring spirit was a source of inspiration to his fellow prisoners. One survivor of the camp said, "If it hadn't have been for Čapek, I probably wouldn't be alive now, nor would others who survived." The flower ceremony continues to be celebrated in this congregation and in 1,000 other Unitarian congregations around the world. The ritual is a testament to the high vibrational power of love to overcome hatred and to the vision of a tolerant faith which sweeps the world, not through adherence to a set of ideas or by persecution or threats of violence, but by drawing people together with the sweet aromas of freedom and compassion and lived principles. So these flowers that we share this morning carry the assurance that warmth and kindness can pierce through the frost of cruelty and indifference, that mercy and decency will blossom, that goodness has deep and hearty roots, and what seems most fragile and perishable is actually most persistent and enduring. So let us keep our eyes lifted to this highest truth, that love will always win out over hatred and violence and indifference. Amen, and blessed be. So now is the time for us to celebrate our flower communion this morning. If today is your first day with us, I'm so glad that you are here. This morning, you are a part of our community and invited to participate fully in this ritual. Even if you didn't bring a flower with you, that's fine. We have plenty of flowers to share. I'm going to begin by sharing the words of blessing over the flowers that Norbert Čapek himself first wrote. We bless these flowers, messengers of fellowship and love. Like these flowers, we are beautiful in so many ways. We have different gifts, different ways of seeing the world, But let us be one in love and in purpose. Don't let anyone else's gifts or talents make you feel small. We all have our own special gifts, and the world needs all of our efforts. So it's time now to begin the ceremony. What I'm going to do is invite you to come down the west aisle here, starting with the back row. The ushers are poised there to help you know when it's your turn to come. So what you're going to do is select a flower. One will call to you. And treat it gently and reverently, because it was a gift brought here by somebody else here, a gift for you. If coming down to the front is a physical challenge for you, you can either ask somebody near you to bring you a flower, or the ushers would also be happy to bring a flower so that you be sure to get one. And then as you take that chosen flower, notice, just spend some time in meditation with it, noticing its shape, its scent, its texture. It represents someone's unique humanity here, and therefore it deserves your kindest touch and attention. We're going to do this ritual in silence. Katie's going to be playing some beautiful music underneath. And we're going to allow the music to be the only sounds that fill this space. Let our ritual begin as a moving meditation.